Let's hear the word of the Lord. Matthew recording says, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for coming to us. We thank you for Emmanuel, God with us, in his fullness, in your power, in your glory, in your majesty, in your humility, in your humanity. That you wrapped yourself in human flesh to identify with us in every single way. That through all that we go through all the burdens that we bear, you bear them along with us. That you understand the pain and the suffering in our lives. You understand the burdens that we carry because you carried the weight of all of us on yourself. So, Father, I ask that through your word today, you would encourage our hearts, that you'd speak to us and refresh us and nourish us, that we can truly say it's been good to be in your house this morning where we met with you. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as we begin our Advent journey together, we're going to begin with a theme that I've chosen this year called The Characters of Christmas, based on a book that I come across recently by Dan Darting of the same name. We're going to be focusing in on a lot of different characters around the story of Christmas. And at this time of the year, Christmas season, Advent season, there's a lot of characters that we see around us, maybe on TV, or as we go out and about, some of the characters of Christmas that we see greeting us. There's this guy, you know, Frosty the Snowman with his jolly smile. And there's even a song about him. He's one of the characters of Christmas that brings supposedly a lot of joy to people. There's this guy, Rudolph, with his bright red nose, and Hermie the Elf, and a lot of different characters we see on those Rankin and Bass Christmas specials that are on this time of the year. There's this character. Anybody know who this guy is? Janelle, you don't know who he is? Kim knows. That's Nestor, the long-haired Christmas donkey. He was made fun of because he had long ears, and if you know his story, he was the donkey that was chosen to take Mary and Joseph, Mary to Bethlehem, to deliver Jesus. One of the characters of Christmas we see this time of year. Then there's this guy, the little drummer boy, known for in his poverty, playing his drum for Jesus to put a smile on his face. Then there's this guy, the Grinch that stole Christmas. And maybe we feel this year the Grinch that's stealing Christmas is COVID. I don't know. But the Grinch that stole Christmas and the transformation that came across his life. And then two of my personal favorites, Heat Miser and Snow Miser. I love these two from The Year Without a Santa Claus. Then, of course, one of my really favorites, Charlie Brown and Lucy. Charlie Brown and, and Snoopy with his famous Christmas tree, one of the best Christmas stories I like this time of the year. Then, of course, the great one of the most characters of Christmas you see this time of year is this guy. You see him everywhere. And there's a lot of people and a lot of kids, they think that's what Christmas is all about. So there's a lot of characters we see this time of year. But we want to focus in on the characters that really matter. The characters in the story of Christmas. Those involving and surrounding the life of Jesus, our Savior. And this year, as we focus in on the characters of Christmas, we're going to look in the lives of some of the people that surrounded Christ. Those that were touched by his coming and saw and were involved in the Christmas story and revolved in the events of Jesus' coming, but how the events impacted their lives and the changes it made in them. So we're going to be looking at some people that we may not have looked at much before. Some of the people in the back in the shadows of Christmas that we don't talk too much about, that we can learn from their lives. Today, we want to focus and begin on Joseph. Joseph, who was chosen to be the earthly father of Jesus. Joseph was one of the unsung heroes of Christmas. We don't know too much about him. He served what God had given him to do, and he did it faithfully. But not much is known about Joseph. The only place we find mentioning of him is here in Matthew chapter 1. And if you go to Luke chapter 2, you find that he's mentioned there in reference to the birth of Jesus. And then later on in the temple, when Jesus was 12, and they were looking for Jesus, and Mary and Joseph were looking for him when they returned back. Beyond that, he kind of disappears, and you don't really hear too much about his life. What we do know is that he was a descendant of King David, part of the royal line. We know that he was a carpenter, and so he has been very poverty, a very meager means, very humble means. We know that he was betrothed to Mary, and that he was a righteous man. Those are some of the things we can gather from what the scripture tells us. But as we begin looking at the characters of the Christmas this morning and focusing in on Joseph's life, there's four things that we're going to learn from his life that as we study him today, that we can learn from him that helps us in our own journey with Jesus. As Jesus impacted him and he came in encounter with the Messiah in a personal way that really affected and changed his life. And in the same way, looking to him, we see the same Jesus that changes us. First lesson we can learn from Joseph that encourages us this morning is this. That even when faced in a difficult situation, when faced with a difficult situation, he responded in a righteous way. A good lesson from our life, that a difficult situation arose into his life that changed his life. And when it arose, he responded in a way that was righteous and glorified God. Let's see what happened here. Matthew tells us that this is how Jesus' birth came about, as we read in the account, that his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. To understand this story, we have to understand Hebrew Jewish traditions of engagement. It would begin with a betrothal period where the families would announce that the two were going to be married, and they'd be betrothed to each other in a formal ceremony. After that would happen, a year would pass, and the couple would barely see each other. The husband would be doing his thing, preparing the house. The wife would be doing her thing, and they barely saw each other for a year. So keep that in mind. They're engaged, but they barely saw each other. And then it came time later when they would have the official ceremony. But the betrothal was seen as an actual wedding. And it was seen that the couple at that point were committed to each other. They were to honor one another. They were to be faithful to each other and honor that commitment. But in the midst of that betrothal period, and that year's time, word comes to Joseph. We don't know how, either through Mary herself or through something he heard, but it said it was discovered that Mary had become pregnant. All of a sudden, Joseph's world was turned upside down. A nightmare had happened in his life. That here, all that he had planned and hoped for, then how he had to believe that Mary, who he was engaged to, had been unfaithful to him. That somehow she had betrayed him. And that somehow had broken her vows. It was bad news. His world was turned upside down. And all his hopes were dashed. He felt like his world had just fallen apart. And all of his hopes, dreams, plans, and aspirations had just crumbled around him. Place yourself in Joseph's position. How would you feel? Have you ever been in a position where you felt someone betrayed you? Where someone betrayed your trust? Maybe you shared something with them, and then you felt that they let you down, or they betrayed you, or betrayed a confidence. It's different than what Joseph went through, but in the same way it is. And we all go through difficult situations in our life that come up, and when we hear a phone call, we get a phone call, we get a doctor's report, something happens, and all of a sudden, in the beginning, at the end of our day, did not end like it started. Everything is turned upside down, and we feel like the world's caving in around us. Ever been there? How do you respond in times like that? How do you respond in times of trial, in times of adversity, in times of testing when your world is collapsing around you, when you get that bad news? That's what we can learn from Joseph's life. Because the Bible tells us how he responded. It says when he was considering this, it says when it was found out, the Bible makes it clear in verse 19, look together here, that the Bible makes it clear, Matthew records that he said, Joseph, her husband, was a, what's that phrase say? Righteous man. It says that, and Matthew records that for us even before we hear about the angel coming to give him the message from God's hope. So his integrity, his righteousness, was at the heart of how he was going to respond. And even in the midst of a difficult situation that turned his world upside down, he responded in a righteous way. His integrity, his relationship with the Lord, which was strong, was going to lead him to respond in a way that he thought would be the best way to bring glory to God. Now, how would you respond to such terrible news? And how do you respond when times like this hit our life? Well, for Joseph, Matthew records that he only had two choices, that he thought there's only two ways he could respond. In his eyes, and his humanness, and his understanding, he thought there were only two options and two ways out of this situation he was in. Sometimes when we're in the midst of difficult situations that turn our world upside down, just like Joseph, in our options, we survey our options, what we have, and the best of our human thinking, we think, okay, I got option A, I got option B, and for both options to Joseph, neither one of them was good, but one was better than the other. The first option he had to consider was he could take Mary and bring her out and expose her to the whole public and say, she's betrayed me, she's pregnant, it's not my child, I was faithful to her, I had nothing to do with it. And he could expose her to the religious authorities, expose her to shame, and perhaps stoning. That was option one. But in his righteousness, he didn't want to do that. So the only other option he thought he had was option B. To quietly give her a divorce, not make a scene, just quietly end the engagement. He would still have to bear the questions, okay, Joseph, what happened? Why did you break off the betrayal? What went wrong? He would still have to face that, but Mary could be exposed to public shame. And in Joseph's mind, that was the best way to go, because even in his, he wanted to care for her. But what he did not consider was that the Lord had option three. And so many times when we're going through those hard, difficult situations, yeah, we want to respond honestly and godly, but in our human thinking, we can't think of the best option. But then God breaks through. And God broke into Joseph's world. And in the middle of the night when he was dreaming, God spoke through an angel and said, Joseph, don't be afraid. What Mary told you, the child is not, she has not been unfaithful to you. She is pregnant, but she is pregnant with the Son of God. The child conceived in her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, not through sin. So don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And God's option to Joseph was marry her. You know, Joseph didn't even consider that as an option. But yet, in his righteousness, when God spoke, he listened. What ways are you being tested today? How, in times when you face a situation that turns your world upside down, how do you respond to it? From Joseph, we see that when faced with a difficult situation, he responded in a righteous way. I admit to you, there's times I have difficult situations in my life. I don't always respond in a godly way. Do you? But it's the challenge for us that his righteousness, his integrity, led to how he responded and how he faced and how he lived his life. Second lesson we can learn from him is that he was willing to be used of God without seeking any glory. Without seeking any glory, he's willing to be used of God. He humbly did his part in fulfilling God's plan. The angel then came to him and said, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with son, child, and give birth to a son, and call him Emmanuel, God with us. God said through the angel to Joseph, what you are seeing around you is a fulfillment of God's plan. That foretold by the prophet Isaiah, that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and he would be called Emmanuel, because God would be coming to us through him. And what you are seeing, Joseph, is the fulfillment of the plan. And I want you, Joseph, to be a part in what I am doing and fulfilling my plan through you and through the world. And we see that Joseph humbly responded. And it says that he took Mary home as his wife and did what the angel had commanded him. And then it says at verse 25 that he gave him the name Jesus. That he did his part to be used of God without seeking any glory to himself. And I love this picture because Joseph, I can picture, the Bible doesn't tell us, but we can just infer that Joseph became a good father to Jesus, taught him carpentry. And I love as Joseph's working in the carpenter shop, Jesus is working too. And look what he's building. He's working on building the cross. But he taught him carpentry. He taught him how to follow the Lord. He was a good father to Joseph, to Jesus. And he took that role seriously. He didn't seek any glory to himself. God called him to be the earthly father to Jesus. And imagine in the song that I just played, Joseph's thought, here I am a simple carpenter. How can I be the father to the Son of God? And put yourself in that place. If God had called you to be the earthly father of his son. And Joseph humbly accepted what God had given him to do, to fulfill the role of being a good father to Jesus and also being a faithful husband to Mary. That he loved her, he took her home, he married her, he was faithful to her. He cared for her, he cared for Jesus, and he did his part. And by being a model of the faith, that Joseph taught Jesus the scriptures. He made sure that they would go to the temple every year for Passover. And he was a model. But Jesus himself was that model too. But he was willing to be used of God without seeking glory. There's a lesson in there for us. That God uses every one of us to fulfill his plan in one way or another. And it's not getting attention to ourselves. It's bringing all the glory to him. And what has God called you to do? What way to serve him and the gifts he's given you without bringing the glory to ourselves, but seeing it all goes to Jesus? That was what Joseph did. One of the unsung heroes of Christmas, who willingly played his part by being a simple carpenter Father, faithful husband, and the earthly father of God's Son. Third thing that we learn from his life is that he was willing to obey God no matter the cost. Good lesson for us to be willing to obey God without whatever the cost, because obedience to God is not easy. Obedience to God was not easy for Joseph either. It says that when he woke, in verse 24, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He didn't delay. He didn't think about it anymore. He didn't struggle anymore at the decision. God had spoken to him. He had received the word and the comfort from the Lord, and he acted on God's word to him immediately. Didn't question it. He didn't challenge it. He accepted it and acted on it. And by saying yes to God, Joseph was saying no to everything that he had previously worked for, everything that he had longed for. And he obeyed God immediately and did not hesitate. Compare his response to that of Jonah. When God asked Jonah to do something difficult, when God said to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach for me. I want you to share with the Ninevites the way of salvation with them. And what was Jonah's response? He didn't obey God right away. He went the opposite direction. And in disobedience. And then when finally God saved him in the great fish and spit him out on the beach and told him to go again to preach, he went, but he went reluctantly. And even then, when the people, the Ninevites, believed, remember his response was, it's not fair. But yet, Joseph obeyed God immediately as God asked him to do. And despite the cost, and the cost was to his personal, there were several costs to him, the cost of his personal reputation that he would bear by marrying Mary. And imagine the stories that were going around. Here's Mary, an unwed girl, pregnant. Now in those days, it carried a lot of shame, a lot more than it does these days. And it carried a lot of shame. And the stories that would have been going around Nazareth, you know how the stories go around in our time, right? And the stories that would have been going around Nazareth and all the talk that would have been happening. And Mary said it wasn't from her. She was faithful. And people say, yeah, right. And she said it was the Lord's conception of her, which we know is true. But people had their doubts. They had to believe Mary's word or Joseph's, or they would talk and spread their own rumors. But in the midst of that, Joseph said, I'm going to marry Mary anyway. Despite my own reputation, despite what people think of us or of me, I'm going to obey what God told me to do. And that's what God wants us to do, despite our own personal reputation, what people say or think of us because of our obedience to the world. Look at it today. Taking a stand for Jesus costs us something in our day, doesn't it? It can cost us our reputation. We hear the stories of those Christian bakers who refused to bake a cake for gay couples. And it cost them something. And obedience to Christ does. But he is worth it. The cost to our personal reputation, but it was also a cost to his personal comfort. Because he had to take Mary as his wife, raise Jesus, going into the marriage already with a child, being the Son of God. But his own personal cost of expense of caring for Jesus. And then we read later in Matthew chapter 2 that King Herod found out about the birth of Jesus, wanted to kill him. So the angel said to Joseph again, leave Bethlehem and go to Egypt and there for protection. And so Joseph had to leave his homeland and go into Egypt at his own personal expense, a trip he wasn't planning for. Did you ever have those things come up in your life? An expense that you weren't planning for that all of a sudden is dumped on you. And he had that expense he wasn't planning for, but it was his own personal comfort, personal expense that it cost him, but he was willing to obey God in spite of it. You and I, do we have that same attitude that we're willing to obey God no matter the cost? I think, and you've heard me before, talk about Jim Elliot, who obeyed God despite the cost and gave his life. A good lesson for us. And the last lesson we learn from this story of Joseph is that his willingness to adopt Jesus demonstrates God's acceptance of us. His willingness to adopt Jesus demonstrates God's acceptance of us. It says that, verse 25, he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name. Joseph gave him his name, Jesus. Don't read over that too quickly. That was significant in Hebrew culture, that it was the father's role to give the name of the child to their the father's role to give the name. And Joseph, in giving the name Jesus to him, was accepting Jesus as his own. Basically, he was adopting him as his own son. The legal responsibilities, caring for him, all that went on with the role of parenting, Joseph was accepting that responsibility as his own, giving him his name. When we become a child of God, through Joseph's adoption of Jesus, it's a picture of God's acceptance of us. When we become a child of God, he has given us our name. Christian, one like Christ, one who belongs to him. And it shows us that his name, our name then, is written in his book of life that cannot be taken away and taken out of. Aren't you thankful? And he writes his name, his name on us. We belong to him. We are sealed to him. And we are adopted by him and a part of his family. Just with all the rights, all the heirs, all the privileges that go with being a son of God are yours and mine, because we've been accepted by the Father through Christ. Same thing Joseph in accepting Jesus. That picture of how God accepts us. And he received him as his own. Received him as his own son. He raised him his own. Taught him. And became his father. Just the same as God receives us as his own. Through faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Heirs, co-heirs with Jesus. And heirs of all that God has in store for us. So as we begin this journey this morning, I'm looking at the characters of Christmas, looking at Joseph, one of the unsung story heroes of this story. We focus a lot on Mary, we focus a lot on Jesus, but behind all of them was Joseph, who faithfully took his part in obeying God in a simple way, but yet a difficult way, of doing what God asked of him, and that was simply to be a faithful father and husband, and to serve him behind the scenes. When his world was torn apart, when his hopes were dashed, when everything came crashing in around him, he responded in a righteous way that brought glory to God. When our world comes crashing in around us, may our response be the same as Joseph's, to obey what he's called us to do, but to respond in a way that is glorifying and honoring to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we thank you for the lives of men and women of faith who have been touched by you. And one of the first ones was Joseph and Mary. And Joseph's life was changed because he met you. And you called him to simply be a faithful father and husband, to lovingly care for your son, our Savior, Jesus, and Mary, to provide for them. And he obeyed despite his own personal cost and reputation or what people thought of him. He faithfully did what you asked him to do. And when his world was seemed to be crashing in around him, when his hopes and aspirations and dreams of how he thought life would be did not turn out the way he thought, he responded in a righteous manner. And Lord, there's times in our life when our life does not turn out the way we think or hope or plan it to be. And Lord, we can fret about it. We can be anxious. We can be angry. Or we can be righteous. and we can respond in a way that glorifies you. And in our own option of thinking, sometimes we think the options that we have may not be all that good. But then when you break through, and through your word and through your spirit, speak to us and show us another whole option that we were not even thinking of or considering. Give us, may we have the spirit and the mindset like Joseph to humbly obey you and to do what you are leading us to do, no matter how difficult it may be. So thank you, Lord, for his life, what we can learn from. And Lord, may we be men and women of faith today, serving you in our time and in this week. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.